This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Talofa lava to all our Samoan listeners, and of course, hello to everyone else tuning in from across the Pacific. This is Nijan Footy, the number one platform that highlights our Pacifica talent across the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes, and with me is former NRL and Super League stalwart, my Cook Island Koi, Tinidar Arona T. How good, eh?
Kia ora, Sammy.
Plenty of footy on.
Mate, good to be back. It's good to see that rugby union is about to kick off the international game, and there's plenty of news to talk about, which we'll cover with our great Totai Kefu, as per usual, every Friday. We'll also catch up with Sala Tongatuki, our NRLW superstar, and speak about her pain from the State of Origin lost as she represented the New South Wales Blues women's team. And, you know, we've got our competitive component of our show at the end of the Nijan Footy Fridays, which we'll cover as well. So a big show ahead. Let's rip straight into it.
Hi, my name is Faitala Moleka, and you're listening to Nijan Footy.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a big show planned, and we kick off by wrapping up the week's news. And let's start with rugby league that happened last night, T.
Yes, so the South Sydney Rabbitohs, they beat the Parramatta Eels 32-16 at here in Sydney. It was a wet, raining night, and, you know, I just thought it was a big game for both teams. You know, I think both teams losing their head coaches this year as well, so both had points to prove. In this game, only one Nijan try scorer, Blaise Talangi. Now, I believe this is his, I think he scored six or seven, scored in every game in the last six or seven games. He's really stepped up as a young star in Parramatta Eels, and probably sending a message to some of the veterans in his own team saying, this is how the job gets done. You know, this is how you run with intent. He made six tackle breaks in this during this game as well. But for the South Sydney Rabbitohs, mate, there's a couple stats that stand out for me here. So in regards to offloads, the Rabbitohs had 15 to the Eels 9. Now, when you think about the Eels, the way that they play, they like to play a lot of second phase footy. But the Rabbitohs, they really they were running hard. They were direct.
So they handled the wet conditions obviously a lot better than the Eels did.
Yeah, they played to the conditions. And when you listen to the Parramatta Eels head coach after the game, he speaks about the Eels playing laterally and not playing direct, you know, as you should in the rain. From those offloads, Rabbitohs 15, seven of them were from Fijian representative Tane Milne. Now, the missed tackles, that's the big one for me. So the Eels missing 48 tackles, and the Rabbitohs missing 24, so only half. When you think about winning and losing teams, now, just looked it up. The Parramatta Eels have lost one game. Sorry, they've won one game in the last 10. So they've only won.
No way.
In their last 10 games, they've only won one game. Now, when losing becomes a habit, and the Parramatta coach talks about, you know, cleaning up from the inside, doing that dirty work, those effort areas. Now, when you're losing so much, some of those things become habit. So it's a tough position that they're in at the moment. I believe you tipped them to be wooden spooners at the start of the year, Sammy.
I did. I didn't think it was actually going to happen because all my other predictions have been rubbish. But yeah, the Parramatta Eels looks like it could be happening.
Yeah, there's some frustration in camp with a few of their senior players as well, which you've seen on screen with Mitch Moses getting sent off for 10, just being pure frustration. You know, he's coming off the back of a big game two State of Origin game for the Blues, and going back to clubland, trying to get them back to winning ways, and it's finding it tough. But in regards to the South Sydney Rabbitohs, mate, they've won five in a row now. They're on a bit of a trot, and
can they do it? Can they get to the eight?
Can they get into the top eight? I think right now they're only one win outside of the eight. But listening to their head coach Ben Hornby speak about, they're just thinking next week. They're not looking at
the old cliche. Yeah, fair enough.
1 week at a time. Yep. Just keep collecting those wins, and eventually it'll look after itself. But I thought a standout for me was Keon Kolomatangi. He ran for 23 carries, 221 metres, and he also had 37 tackles. But there was a nice try by Jacob Gagai that had a few of our Nigerian players that were involved to the lead up to this try.
Guns fed now by Whiten. In it goes. They're set to the right. Cook goes that way. Cody Walker away to Latrell, but he links up with Jacob Gagai. Got down the outside of Russell, and Jake Tungall was nowhere to be seen. And that is the first try. Oh, so easy from a scrum.
Big shout out to Jake Tungall making his debut for Parramatta Eels. He is the brother of Penrith Panther Isaac Tungall. I thought he also had a big game. You know, you could see that it really meant a lot to him being his first game, and he actually had a couple really nice touches of the ball, made a tackle break, ran down the sideline, had a nice offload. Unfortunately, didn't get the win on his debut, but congratulations to Jake Tungall. And it is semi try July month, so keep an eye out for all our Nigerian athletes out there after they score tries. Hopefully they get up and do a Nigerian celebration, whether we see the Henry Farfili
cutting of the
coconuts, or we see the siva. Just keep an eye out for those try celebrations.
Siana Penatani, they did it last year. They did the Taolunga, the girls did a Tongan dance actually after her try. So, yeah, look out for that one.
Now, it's a fun month, and I'm looking forward to seeing some of these celebrations. Next year, so Las Vegas. Sammy, we're going to Las Vegas next year for these opening games.
I heard we are. We're going over there. We've got the crew. It's part of the Pacific, sort of.
Oh, plenty of Nigerian players over there.
Absolutely,
that will be
mate.
Representing, you know, their NRL and NRLW, sorry, NRL clubs, but not NRLW. It will be Australia taking on England in Las Vegas in the women's game. So the Gillaroos, sorry.
Really?
So the women's Australian team playing the women's England team, reported, allegedly.
Oh, so it's happening.
Everyone's talking about it. So apparently the women's Australian team will be taking on England in Las Vegas, and it's expected that Penrith, Cronulla, the Warriors, and the Canberra Raiders will be the NRL clubs.
Expected. It's not
allegedly.
Allegedly. Look at that smile. You know the goss. You know that's happening. Hey, mark my words, that's what's happening.
There's also some chat around Super League games being played, or a Super League game being played there as well. So getting our English teams over and playing in Las Vegas with the NRL and the women's game. So exciting times. And if you are our boss listening, it'd be awesome to get us over there. Report live from Las Vegas. Imagine that.
Oh, how good. Hey, what about our other alleged bit of news that we had a few weeks ago and it's come to fruition?
Mark Nawanganitawase.
Yes. The June 30 deadline. Looks like they've made it. So he is actually in their top 30 squad when he gets back from the Olympics.
For the Sydney Roosters, yes. So I checked out. I'm like, is he in the top 30 list? So when he does finish Olympics, he goes straight to the Sydney Roosters and maybe help them win a premiership. Yeah, he's in the top 30.
How many games will that be when he gets back from the sevens? Maybe
only
three
a few,
or four,
only
yeah,
a few
handful.
Games. But imagine him going over there. They win gold medal. He comes back. He gets a role in the Sydney Roosters squad or team. They go on a finals run.
Oh, stop.
Wins a premiership ring. Mate, happy days.
Win a wooden spoon, a gold medal, and a premiership
all in one year. Did they get wooden spoon?
Yeah, for the Tars, yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, it's good to it'll be actually really cool to see Mark in the red, white, and blue, but also hearing the commentators say, Nawanganitawase.
They'll be all over it. Good luck.
Fiji and Mike Asivo, he is out for 6 weeks, which is a huge blow for the Eels. As I mentioned earlier, they've only won one game in the last 10, and losing a star like Micah, it's a huge loss. Remember, you can hear every NRL game, including State of Origin, live on ABC Radio Australia. Now that's enough for Rugby League. On to Rugby Union, which is a massive week.
Huge week in Rugby Union this week. We talked about on Monday's Nigerian footy, not much happening, a couple of signing news, and that's about it. But this week, different story. We have Fiji versus Georgia, 4 a.m. Saturday morning Fiji time. That'll be a cracker of a game. 12 Drua players named in the match day 23, potential debut for two players off the bench, Elia Vanakaivata and our man, young gun Isaiah Armstrong-Ravula. He's coming off the bench.
12 draw players. Where are the rest of the Fijian players from?
Based around Europe. Okay. A couple with the one with the Reds, so Penny Ravi.
Yep.
A prop. He was playing Super Rugby for the Reds. And, yeah, a lot of them based in France as well. So they've got a really good blend of European players coming into the fold. A lot of experience. I tell you right now, the Flying Fijians, they are going to push the big teams. We'll also see Samoa take on Italy at Apia Park in Samoa. That will be on while the show's on. So we'll cover that on Monday, Nijin footy.
I didn't know the game was actually played in Samoa.
Yeah, it's in Samoa. And do you know what's special about this game? There's a couple of things. Their new captain, Theo McFarlane, 2018 I first met Theo. He was raw. He came over to Japan on a training trial for Panasonic. And he was hoping for a gig, but it just didn't quite work out. I think it was just too green for their liking. Then he goes away, represents Samoa in basketball. He's a gun basketball player. Represented them at the Pacific Games in 2019. He gets brought back by then Brian Lima, the Sevens coach for Samoa, and then signs with Saracens, one of the powerhouse clubs over in England, and now he's the captain for Samoa.
Damn.
Mate, it's what a journey. And that, like, he's a specimen. Like, he's 6'6", 115 kilos, and he's one of the best locks in England at the moment.
Is he?
Yeah, mate, he's one of the best locks. Like, he's in demand, and that's why he's a skipper for Manu Samoa, and he's a genuine leader. So,
yeah, I know the Saracens is a big club in England.
Huge club. And so he will be their skipper. Look forward to seeing how they go and covering that on Monday. And we also see Samoan Monty Ioane, Digby Ioane's nephew, who we had Digby on the show, famous Wallaby and Queensland Red player. But he's actually starting on the wing for Italy.
Is that the one that... Oh, wait. Oh, hold on. So he's Samoan, but he's playing for Italy.
Italy on the wing. So he spent his time over in Italy and became eligible. So he's had a fair few caps for Italy now. But what a homecoming for Monty, because his whole family's over there. And then we have Fijiana take on the Wallaroos in Sydney and a potential debut for Alana Sikimeti for the Wallaroos. Makaz, she was on here not long ago where, again, we allegedly broke the news that she was in the squad. Her dad did message me and say that she was in there a little bit earlier, but I you know, respectfully, didn't leak the news. But that's
you
that.
You did, but you didn't.
Yeah, absolutely. We also have the Wallabies take on Wales straight after that game for the Wallaroos. Look, it's a very inexperienced side. We're definitely going to touch on more of that game with the great man, Tota Kefu. But some Nijin faces in there. Daniela Tupou, Lukan Salakai Loto, Noah Lolasio returns. We have Filippo Dangunu, Hunter Paisami, and then Isaac Gailea. He will be potentially making his debut. And we also have Alan Alaalatoa coming off the bench. So it seems like the bulk of the experience will come in from our Nijin players. And also, we can't forget in-form number 8, Rob Valentini. He's the only Nijin player from the team that lost to Wales at the Rugby World Cup in that lineup. So there's plenty of talent there for the Wallabies, for our Nijin stars.
Experience.
A lot
as well.
Of experience compared to, I guess, the past. I don't think I've ever seen that many experienced Nijin players in the squad. And they're going to need every single one of those players to stand up and be confrontational in the contact areas against Wales, because it's going to be wet. There's no hiding the fact that the style of play that Wales bring, scrum, mauls, in the tight, the Wallabies are going to have to pull something special out here, because I think it's going to be a really tough game for them. But as I said, we'll go into more detail with the great man Kefs. Finishing up here, just some other news. The 20s World Trophy competition held in Scotland. That's the T2 comp under the Under-20s World Cup that's currently playing in South Africa. Samoa 20s. Keep your ears open for this one, T. That was smashed by Scotland, 123, I didn't stutter, to 15.
Oh, yeah, I sent you the Instagram photo.
No, you didn't. That was me.
I sent you keeping up to that.
See, that's the only time you want to send rugby union news, just while it's down. You want to kick him while it's down.
No. Just like, whoa, was this over two or three games or just the
I
one?
Know.
The
poor one Samoa. Hopefully they can improve for their next game. And a big congratulations to Isaiah Ahulele, who has been named the CEO of Tongan Rugby Union. Fun fact, mean DJ as well. He was a DJ at my uncle's nightclub back in the day in the early 2000s. Hula Hurt. And he is now the CEO. So there we go. And in the World Cup, the Tier 1 competition, England under-20s beat Fiji 48-11.
That's it for rugby.
That's it for rugby, my friend.
There is a bit going on, but let's cover a little bit more with Totai Kefu. But first, we have our first expert, Sala Tongatuki.
The Rugby League Preview.
Now comes the way to the right edge. Tongatuki!
With Sala Tongatuki.
Yes, we are blessed with her presence once again, our Fetu Samoan, New South Wales origin, and NRLW superstar, Sala Tongatuki. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Feels good to be back. It's been a while, but thanks to you and Sam and are back there somewhere.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm back.
Yeah, Sammy's back.
He is.
It's been a long time in between drinks, but last time we spoke to you, Sala, it was before your State of Origin game. You know, I do feel sorry for yourself and the Blues team, because I thought you'd had an amazing series, but talk us through it. You know, it's been a week now. How are you feeling after losing to Queensland in the State of Origin series?
Oh, thanks, T. Thanks, boys. My heart's so sore still from it. Like, I've sort of brushed it to the side, but I think we all said this to each other in the Blues circle before we went out to the stadium, and we were like, oh, despite the history now, but regardless of however the results go, if we lose, like, it's a year of pain. Like, you don't get that shot again until the next Origin, like, which is obviously a year's time. I've just, sort of tried to sweep it under the rug and just not think too much about it. We've got something to sort of fall back on, which is NRW, so that's been positive for a lot of us. But, yeah, just seeing the girls and that, be okay with it for now. But I know that it will, once you see a bit of the highlights and that come on TV and stuff, or just little conversations here and there, sort of sparks that pain. But, yeah, I don't know, like, the buzz, everything, vibes were so good in camp. Nothing went wrong there. I just, probably on that just wasn't our night, I reckon. Everyone's saying wet footy weather isn't our thing, apparently. So I don't want to believe that, but it's something common I've been hearing since our loss. So, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I've seen your Instagram post and focusing on the positives and your comeback from your injury. Is that something that you've been focusing on the last week?
Yeah, massive. Like, I know I'm all in the clear, but there is times where I get a little bit of pain in that around the ankle, but that comes with injury and rehabbing it. You're never going to get a perfect ankle. Whatever you've done, you know, you want to get it back 100%. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, I've had family and that just tell me, you know, the positive thing is all you girls came out of that game unharmed and injury-free. So so many positives to look at. Like, it would have been nice to sort of lift that shield and bring it back home, but, yeah, we just didn't get the job done.
What did your coach, Kylie Hilda, say to you, to your woman?
She didn't speak to us till, we were leaving to go. Once we got back in the sheds, we sort of, everyone just had to go shower and stuff, and families were waiting for us in our little area in the sheds and that. So I think everyone sort of went to them first, and I don't know. Then after that, we got rallied in before we had to leave to go on the bus, and she was just saying that this will hurt. A lot of years for a while, some are different, but that's just Origin, and she really believed that we were definitely going to come away with the win, but we just didn't get the job done. She was sort of head down a fair bit on that night, and totally understand. A lot of us were. Our families try to console us and come around and hug us, but to be honest, we all looked at each other, like us players, and we were just like as much as we loved our loved ones, we don't want to hurt them, but them trying their best to say, no, it's not your fault. Little errors or little things like that didn't go our way. Like, let's be honest, you boys will know it's not going to help you. Like, all what helps us is when we actually go away from it. And I think a lot of us did that anyways. As soon as we came out of camp, like, a lot of us just went to somewhere different, just away, like, didn't go back to NRW.
I definitely understand the hurt of losing and what you need to do to be able to get yourself out of that hole. And one of those areas is actually going deep within it and ripping the Band-Aid off and reviewing the game and just finding where you can get better. Have you had a chance to reflect on the game or even just watch and review?
No, I actually haven't, Sam. That's a good question, though. My family has, and they tried to talk to me like, "Yeah, you're done well, blah blah blah." But you'll know it within yourself if you're actually okay with what you did and stuff like that. But I haven't looked at the game, and I normally do watch a game right after. But for some reason with Origin games, I just can't watch it. Like it's so different. NRW, like once I perform, I'm waiting for the game. Like I don't know. I prefer to watch it on Huddle or on Analyzer, so I can always just get straight to my part of the game and just look at it, and I'll go over it with the coaches or whoever I can get access to. But, you know, Origin's so different. I think when there's so much more banter happening on the field, literally, like I've witnessed the minutes I was on the field, I witnessed just seeing Queensland like really like just give it, like didn't even care, like they possibly could have sworn at us and Belinda wouldn't even care. No, but jokes. I'm joking. But, yeah, no, like it just feels like that. It's not like in NRW, no one carries on in that way, but Origin's different. He's just got a lot of banter going and some take it too serious and some don't. For me, I don't really take it serious. I just look at them like.
One last question from me just on State of Origin before we move to your NRL games. What did you take away from this whole experience, the whole State of Origin series, three games, first ever for the women's? What's one big thing that you took away from this experience?
I think just like hard work is what I took away from it. It's been a while. Like before the injury, I was like, I always had that at the back of my head. Like I wanted to always be the person to do the extras and 1% in that 1%er, sorry. But then, like, trying to find my feet again in the whole process of it, like, it was quite tough. And I knew that I didn't quite have the mindset I had before, but I just thought at that time, and I did a bit of mindset work with Dan Hassler, I think that's his name.
Yep.
And he helped me just focus on how can I build my game now. Like, there's no point in trying to, like, dwell on what you used to be like, but what can you do now moving forward and what can you take away? And that was just hard work for me. The whole thing was I had to work so hard to get back to, you know, the speed that I used to have, the footwork that I used to have, and just the aggression and the go forward and that kind of mentality. And that was big for me. And if no one knows who Dan is, he's a mindset coach and he works with the Penrith Panthers right now. And he has been with the last years they've won those premierships. So he's been massive for us three girls and we were so grateful and fortunate to have him be a part of the whole campaign. So it's hard work. That's what I took away from it.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm happy that you learn a lot from him, and I'm sure that this experience will, you know, add wood to your fire leading into this NRLW season. So I'm looking forward to watching you tear it up for the Tigers. Now, moving on to the NRL, what games are you looking forward to watching and what Nijin players?
I'll start with the Bulldogs and Warriors. Both teams are off the back of a win. Bulldogs teams, they're joined with the force of Connor Tracy back and fullback, and that means Jacob Carraz goes back to the wing. Stuff. And then I've been like just eyeing out the half pairings of Tomato Martin and Chanel Harris-Tavita. I feel like they've probably been that bit of spark for the Warriors that last game. And, yeah, I reckon you need it, especially if those two. They're the brains and the everything that, you know, to steer the team on a field in the right direction and execute those opportunities for the team. But, those are two Polynesian players I'll probably start off with. I'm pretty keen to see for the Warriors. And I noticed, again, the Warriors back five are all Polynesian players. You know, Dylan Watenazilizniak. I keep saying it so wrong. So
Watenazilizniak, yes.
Watenazilizniak. Yeah, I had it right before. Yeah, sorry.
Not all good.
And then Charles Clogston, Marcelo Montoya, Adam Pompey, and Roger.
Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, yes.
Yeah, he's been, like, obviously, I feel like he can be used a bit better. Like, we see what he's, how damaging he is once he's got more hands on the ball. But yeah, I'm even Villayelmi, Kikau, Dylan Walker. For me personally, the Nijin player I'll probably look out for in this game is Dylan Walker. I don't know, for some reason, every time he comes off the bench, I rate him so much. He just goes forward and does the simple, boring shit again.
Mm.
And that's the kind of thing you need, especially the game's all about cycle pressure. And we forget about that when you're up in a scoreboard. But once Dylan comes on, you just trust that there's some of the Warriors. I always have this gut feel that Warriors are going to come back, or I don't know. But I don't know, Viliami Kikau. He's always dominating, just running over his opposing half, whoever that is in front of him. Feel sorry for them, but he just does his job, and it's he has so much effort in him that doesn't get spoken about. You know, he's always covering tackles and stuff like that. So I'm excited to see that this game is really exciting for me. And yeah, I guess Roger and Critter, the man I haven't spoken about yet. Both powerful ball runners, electric on their feet, and it's just a skill to offload at any given time. It gives me goosebumps when that happens.
Yeah, game. Roger and Stephen Crichton, that'll be Stephen,
big game players. And yeah, I just can't believe Critter just backed himself up in that game after Origin. It's just.
Yeah, I don't think he played he did play a huge role with his presence being on the field. Presence. And I don't think he needed to. In that game, he didn't need to do much to have a big impact in the game, because him just turning up after State of Origin in the game that he played sends a message to every other player in that Bulldogs team, we need to get after it. You know, if he's backing up after 3-4 days after playing one of the biggest games of the year, we should be setting an example and a standard for our team as well. So
yeah, I was about to say that, like, for your leaders that play, sometimes they don't even play the best game, but knowing when you're in the change room and you're suiting up next to them and you go, oh man, I'm so glad he's on our team. Like you feel like you've just got more powers ready to go.
I used to do the same when I was at Sharks and Paul Gullen would, you know, you're suiting up next to Paul Gullen. You just feel that confidence and you feel that, you know, that extra bit of safety, knowing that you're going out with your strongest weapons and your strength. So I know that impact that he has. So it Stephen Crichton. So it's going to be a huge matchup this weekend as well. What other games are you looking forward to?
The Cowboys and Manly Sea Eagles. This game, it was definitely caught my eye. Cowboys getting a win over the Mighty Panthers last week. That would have given them a big boost into this game against Manly. And obviously, despite where Manly are sitting on a ladder, I believe they have what it takes to, you know, scrape that top eight, and especially if Tommy Turbo stays fit. But, you've got your Origin reps returning. They were all rested for both teams. Anton Holmes, Jeremiah Nanai, Tom Deedon, Reece Robson, Townsville, they had their depth, squad sort of used for last week's game. But to have those players you boys just touched on, having, you know, leaders and those big, those weapon players back, that will definitely strengthen the Cowboys. But, yeah, and you've got Cherry Evans and Ha'umola Ulukuatu, who also returns for Manly Sea Eagles. Especially Ha'umola, I know he didn't get enough time in Origin, but and that can sort of shake some players, especially when you return back to clubland, like it can put you off a bit or not. I don't know, it's just... I just know that that's some of the girls. I don't know. It's probably different for the boys. But, yeah, probably a few Polynesian players across both teams. You've got Viliami Vailea. He'll be in the centres, and Mirai Taulangi in the wing, wing for Cowboys, and then Tommy Talau and Tolu Tau Kola in fullback. They're all young players. So it's nice to see them in that back line for their teams. But, yeah, I reckon we're going to see a lot out of these four players. They've been improving weekly with their teams, and I reckon this game will be great for those players to go up against one another. It's Josh Aluai's 150th. It's a milestone game for him.
Big milestone.
And he's actually, I don't know him quite personally, but I do know his wife, and just hearing some of the stories, he's gone through a fair bit with injuries as well himself, the setbacks, and just to see the resilience and that he's, still being in that starting position in the middle specifically. It's not easy. He'll be a great matchup against Jason Samalolo in the Cowboys fit. So, yeah, and you've got Lehi Hopuata off the bench. He's quick feet. He's at 14, so I don't know he could be a possible backup. With Tommy Turbo, it's his return. If he needs to be managed in that, you can trust that. That's the player that you can sort of slot into that back line and have him at fullback. And I think Ola will go into centre. So that's what I'm thinking Manly might do. But it's a big game for Tommy Turbo. I know we're all touching on Indonesian players, but everyone know this is what's his name? Tron Mitt's done it before for that Origin jersey, and if Tommy Turbo can do it too, it's quite interesting that he's coming back in a centre's role, I guess.
Yeah, I think this game's a huge game. Cowboys sitting at seventh place, and the Manly Sea Eagles at ninth. Only one point separate them. So if I'm Tommy and the Manly players, I'm not thinking about State of Origin. I'm thinking about my own club team, and hopefully whatever happens on the back of that, you know, whether he gets selected or not. But if he can focus on, you know, getting back into that top eight, they're only one win away, doing a big performance against the Cowboys would be the key. But yes, I do agree. It's a huge game, some plenty of Nijan talent, and you know, really looking forward to watching these games coming up this weekend. So thank you again, Salah, for your presence, for your expertise in both NRL and also the State of Origin game.
Sorry, before you go, can you just give me a tip for the games, just to help me with my rugby league tipping? I'm falling behind.
Well,
just give
Cowboys
me those.
Cowboys and Manly, I'm going with Burley in that game, and Warriors Bulldogs, I'm going to back the Bulldogs to sort of get that extra win and make that top four.
Knowing me,
I'm probably going to do something totally different because I don't know why.
Because you never listen.
I don't listen. But thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's all easy. Appreciate it, Salah. We'll see you next week on Indonesian Footy Fridays.
Sounds good, boys.
Culture Shock.
Yes, Sammy, you're up this week, mate. Each week we will be searching around the Indonesian islands, sharing to our listeners.
You're good, mate? You're good?
Nah, I'm all over the shop. Yeah. What have you got for us, mate?
Culture shock. We're going to head to Chuuk. You heard of Chuuk before? Not the chicken. Chuuk, the country, out in the Micronesia state.
No.
Nah. So it is one of four federated states of Micronesia, population only about 48,000 people.
How do you spell it?
C-H-U-U-K.
Chuuk. Chuuk.
And what about this for this fact? Traditionally, okay, on Chuuk, before a man can consider marriage, he needs to be an expert in farming, fishing, boat and house construction. So before they even thinks about getting married, he needs to have the skill set to be able to deliver those. I would be single, for sure.
Name them again.
Farming, fishing, building a boat and a house.
Wow.
What, just like, for
are
me.
You meaning now or
no, traditionally,
100
like,
years ago?
Oh, like back in the day. But like some of these traditions and practices still are strong today.
And that's then they have to present a number of pigs to the father.
Not that one. And then once that happens, he then tells his parents that he's ready for marriage. So his parents will, determine, you know, if this is legit or not. Once they tick that off, they'll go find him a perfect match for his wife. And then when they decide on the girl, when both families agree, both parties agree, they end up swapping to go live at each other's house. So you go sleep at the in-laws and live there until the wedding day.
That is
what
madness.
What about that, eh?
That is madness.
Madness. Can you imagine sleeping at your in-laws before you get married and just living with the father-in-law and the mother-in-law?
I wouldn't make it there because of the skill sets that you have to apply to become.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no way. The great island of Chuuk.
Chuuk. What about that? There we go.
Definitely a culture shock, mate.
Hey, but where are we going next week?
We are going.
I want you to go to the island of Northern Marianas.
Northern Marianas. I'm coming back next week. And now let's head over to Totai Kefu.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Kefu! Totai Kefu!
With Totai Kefu.
Yes, joining us every week to chat all things rugby union is one of the greatest Wallabies of all time, the former Ikaletahi coach, Totai Kefu. Kef, welcome back to the show, mate. It's been a while. For me,
good
anyway.
Morning, boys. Good. Well, some of us have been on holidays or holiday around the Pacific. Great to be on here, boys. We have a smorgasbord of games this weekend. I'm just looking at the list now. There's about 10, 12 games.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Last week was so quiet for us to talk about rugby union, but this week, jam-packed, full of test footy. But before we get into that, I just found out you're heading over to Japan again. The land of the rising yen, and you're heading back there. And I just want to know, Did you get that clause in there about Melbourne Cup being a public holiday?
Oh, you've been talking to some people that we both know.
Well, let's kick off with some of those games. First up, let's go Fiji, Georgia. There's 12 Drua players featured in the match day 23 playing over there in Georgia. What's caught your eye for this one?
Yeah, no, well, the 12 players for Drua involved, I think it's going to be a really interesting game. I don't know who's going to win, actually, because I rate Georgia, and they've got their, you know, they've got their stuff together. I think pathway teams are going really well, and they've been performing. They've knocked off some big teams in the last couple of years. So I look, in their home backyard, I think Georgia can win that game.
We know Fiji play with that flair, you know, that offload game, and, you know, they love them nice tries where they're streaking down 100 metres. But what's Georgia's style like for our listeners? What style of rugby do they play?
Oh, look, they're forward dominated. They will have a strong set piece. Their scrum's traditionally very strong. So that's where they'll try and aim at Fiji, is up through the middle. And they've seen enough Super Rugby and Test Match Rugby, and they know the profile of Fiji. So they'll be trying to slow the game down, you know, keep it nice and tight. Georgia's not the most friendly places to kind of hang around for the week. And look, most teams that go there after two or three days, they want to go home. You know, you go for a walk down the street. The people aren't the most friendly, inviting, accommodating people. You know, they've had traditionally a heap of wars in the past. There, you know, they'll give one look at you. There's no smiles. It's not like walking down the street in Suva on a sunny day. So, look, I think the Fijian boys, they'll be happy to play the game and get the hell out of there.
Yeah, you're not wrong. We used to have this hooker named Jabba that came over to Japan. I swear he looked like he wanted to kill us every single training with his eyes. He just wanted to shoot us. But anyway, he was a great bloke in the end. It only took 6 months for him to warm up to us. But let's move over to the Wallabies game against Wales. Most debutants named since 1968 in match day 23 in terms of experience. Only 363 caps in total, but James Slipper takes 135 of those caps. What do you make of this Wallaby side?
Yeah, interesting, isn't it? Two debutants, a new captain who I think many people would have thought Liam, I don't think would have picked him to make even the squad to be captain. Unbelievable effort from him. Five new caps off the bench as well. Look, I think we got Luke Khan back, which I think is great. You know, Bobby's at number eight, which we all thought. Paisami and Olaseo, inside backs. If we had a look at the Wales-South Africa game last week, I thought the Welsh did all right. I didn't think they did too bad. They bled some points towards the back end of the game, but they did some really good things. Look, I think with a new team, I actually think Wales could beat us.
Yeah, I know what you mean in terms of the inexperience and some of the players that are playing. It's very young, and you're coming up in a test cauldron. But it seems like the most experience comes from our Indonesian players, as you mentioned, Noel Olaseo, Hunter Paisami, Lukan, Alan Alatoa. So all of our experience is actually, you know, with our Indonesian players. Is that probably a first where that's happened?
Yeah, definitely. I would say. Look, there's a couple of players who I thought would never... I've never heard of Jeremy Williams. He's starting. He's a new cap. And Daniela Tupou, he didn't have the best Super Rugby season. So hopefully we can use this as a bit of a build-up for him to get better and better for next year and the year after. But, yeah, look, I'm worried. I totally agree with you. I think the Polynesian boys are probably holding this team together.
Mate, speaking of debuts, do you remember your Wallaby debut and the nerves, you know, leading into your first match?
It was in South Africa. And as you know, Wikes, it's not the playing in South Africa against South Africans, it's not the most accommodating place. I got on at inside centre. And we got belted by 60 points. Unbelievable. But I remember warming up and they would throw cans of soft drink and beer and fruit at you while you're warming up on the sidelines. And they would make sheep noises. Because I was wondering what the sheep noises were for. We said, well, we're not New Zealanders. So we found out later why they were making it. But absolute cauldron. It's, you know, they're passionate. They get behind their team. But, geez, they hate all the other teams that come and play them there.
Hey, speaking of something else that was memorable for yourself, I saw that you were given the match ball for the game-winning Bledisloe Cup game. Can you give us a bit of context around that?
Yeah, so I was just at a luncheon down the Gold Coast. I was doing a favour for a mate, and Clarkey was emceeing, and he was doing an interview with me on a panel. And anyway, he, through one of his friends who used to work for Rugby Australia, he had the match ball where I scored that try for in Ilse's last game. So he wanted to present that to me, his mate. So he gave it to Clarkey. He couriered it down to the lunch, and I got it that day. It was unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. I'm lucky I went there because I was going to pull out because I had some other stuff on. But, wow, what a present to come away from. So I've got the ball where I've actually scored that try in Ilse's last game. I've got the ball, but Ilse still hasn't given me a beer yet.
what year was that?
So that was 2001.
The last time we won the Bledisloe.
Over 20 years ago.
Yeah, over 20 years ago. So I've got it here. I'll probably put it in a display box or something. I'm not too sure yet.
Oh, that's unreal. That's etched in my mind, that try of you scoring. Iconic seeing that happen. But hey, also, another test match, Wallaroos up against Fijiana as well. A big matchup considering, you know, the bulk of the Drua players will be playing for Fijiana and, you know, plenty of Waratahs players in the Wallaroos.
Yeah, look, I think for Fijiana, the Wallaroos are right for the picking. They haven't been going too well. You know, a surprise loss to the United States, what was that, about 2 or 3 weeks ago. So, you know, a good game for the Wallaroos to get their kind of season back on track, but a huge opportunity for Fijiana. And I think the Wallaroos go on to play the Silver Ferns next week, which is going to be a massive challenge for them.
It will be big. Hey, just as well, I caught up with Moses at their training yesterday. What's his line-out jumping skills like? Because he was giving a bit of feedback to his locks around jumping. I'm not sure how many halfbacks have jumped in a line out, but hey, can you give us a bit of insight? Has he got knowledge around that area?
Well, he does. He's used to shouting a lot of orders. The substance behind those orders is not very good. I think the only thing he could teach the players to do is probably drink kava and maybe sleep.
Oh, mate, he was full of beans. He brought the energy. I'm looking forward to seeing those girls run around because there was plenty of laughter. The vibes were high and they actually looked sharp with their session. But it's raining here in Sydney, so I wonder if those wet conditions might play a factor in that result. But also,
it's a double header too, YCA. So
yeah, it is. Yep.
Awesome. Yeah.
It should be good. They're expecting about 35,000 there for the two games, which is good. Hopefully, a packed out house there for both those games. It will go a long way to delivering a better product, hopefully, there, Kef. But hey, Tonga, they've announced they've got their squad. They're assembled over there in Tonga before they play against Italy. And they're doing a bit of an army camp just to get things underway. What did you make of that squad?
Yeah, I saw that. There's a very young squad, very inexperienced squad. I think there's a few older players who are going to come into the environment at a later date. Obviously, those players that played in the French Championship, they'll join in the next couple of weeks. But look, it looks exciting. There's a couple of players that I bled when I was there, and I haven't seen them for a while, so they get another opportunity, which is fantastic. I did see some pictures on social media about an army-style camp, which is great. You know, the first couple of weeks is all about bringing players together, making sure we, you know, connect well, just on a social level as well. So, you know, the hardest thing with bringing boys together for the Kalitahi squad is they come from all different types of programs. You know, if you add them up, they probably come from 30 different clubs, Whereas you look at Australia, New Zealand, all those, they come from a handful of clubs, three, four clubs. You look at Ireland, they all come, 90% of them come from one club. So that's the challenge, is just to get them to connect and build relationships.
How important is it to have a camp actually in country, in Tonga itself, and connecting with all the villages and getting amongst the community?
I think it's absolutely vital. If you can do it, I think you should, because it just connects them back to, well, where their parents came from. And that's really what drives the players. You know, it's that family, faith and fun. You add the food after that. Bringing them back to their home country is absolutely vital, I think.
Awesome. Hey, can you give us your predictions, final predictions on the test matches? Fiji, Georgia, who are you going?
I'm going to have to go for Georgia simply because they're at home.
Yep, okay. Fijiana versus the Wallaroos.
I'm going to go for Fijiana. I'm going to go for my mate Moses. He's promised them a whole lot of carbo if they win. They'll play out of their skins.
Beautiful. Wales, Wallabies.
I'm going to back the Welsh.
Just our greatest Wallaby of all time. Back in the opposition. Awesome, mate.
I'm betting with my head and I'm pretending I've got money on it. But as you know, my heart's always with the Wallabies.
Yeah, I know, mate. I know. All right, Kef, outstanding work on those predictions. You haven't been wrong too much in Super, so I'm sure these will be probably perfect. Hey, but before you go, I know we touched on Japan. Where are you going, actually?
I'm going down to Osaka and coaching with the Kintetsu Liners. So they were a team that are up in top division but got relegated this year. So my timing is impeccable. I will endeavour try and get them promoted. And then hopefully I've signed a 2-year contract, so I'm really, really looking forward to it.
That's outstanding. You've got actually a pretty handy team, so they've been dropped, so you're going to flog everyone down there, look like a superstar, extend. Yeah, well played, sir. Hey, some players to look out for in that team, because we know there's a host of superstars that always go over to Japan. Who's in your one?
Well, we still got the old connection of Will Jennia and Quade Cooper. The old Bulls. Akira Iwani has just signed on for Kintetsu as well. So we'll be swapping some number eight skills and details around playing being a good number eight. We've got a host of young players. I'm not too sure who they are yet. I haven't seen the players list, but I've been assured that there's a lot of talent there.
How's your Japanese?
So-so, ne?
Nihongo benkyo shimashita ka? Sii masen. Nah, awesome, bro, awesome. So does that mean, are you still staying on the show or are you leaving us?
Oh, mate, I'm happy to stay on until I leave.
What's the time difference?
It's only like a couple of hours.
Oh, you're good, mate.
We'll get you on, mate. We know, it's second div, you only train at 3 o'clock over there.
Sammy told me that you're the king in Japan as well, so.
Oh, mate, that's not true.
It's Roppongi. He's king of Roppongi.
I can be the Japanese correspondent, mate.
Thanks, mate. We're going to hold you to that and we'll work out the finer details later. But outstanding work and we'll talk to you next week.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, mate. Cheers. Cheers,
brother.
Shh. Quiet, boys and girls. It's Professor Paulo.
Yes, the great Sefa Paulo has provided the goods again with another question that we have to answer.
Well, he provided the goods for me the last couple of weeks since you've been away.
Tell me, Toops is...
I've cut that lead. I had two in a row.
Two in a row?
Yeah, so it's 7.5 to me and you're on 8. I'm only 0.5 away now, mate.
Oh, and what are we playing for again? Fancy lunch.
Fancy lunch. That's Wagyu what happens.
Steak. Okay, fair enough. Toops, you're done. You're done. I'm not leaving anymore to the Pacific. Don't send me on any other trips unless we're going to Vegas for round one next year. Okay, let's get into it then.
As we have seen so many debuts this year, and as T highlighted, Isaac Tungal presenting his jersey to Jake, my question is, how many games has Samoa International Isaac Tungal played for Penrith Panthers? And I'll go to the nearest within 5 games.
Sam.
It's the nearest within 5 games, so we both get to
pick, mate. Jokes. So say your name, but just for
so
the
did
game.
He say Isaac Tungal, Panthers games, NRL games. Okay, you go. You said Sam, so you go first.
Okay. yes. I've got no idea. How many years has he played?
I don't know. You choose.
I'm going to go. He's played his 100th? I swear he played 100 games.
Yep. 100 games for the Panthers.
Yeah, he's played 100. So I'm going to say. I want to say 52.
52?
Yeah.
That would be very, very close. I'm thinking he has played one, two, maybe 3 years. He played some games in the first, in that. So he's playing.
He had a big injury too, so he missed out on some.
52 will be very close, eh? Very close. I'll go, is it going to be less or more than? So I remember him. He's played this year. He played the year before last year.
Hurry
the
up,
year
man!
Before.
Bloody hell!
We'll go 26, but he was a bit out. So 52. That would be near. So I'll go 53.
You're gonna one up me.
Closest to wins.
All right, here we go. Let's see what. Press
plus
play.
The final season.
What is
Isaac
it?
Tungo has played a total of 62 games.
Yeah. But yes.
But yes.
So I'm on eight.
Right, three.
I'm on 8.5.
Yeah, 8.5.
That's disappointing. Plays eight. So I am now in the lead. That's three in a row. Beauty.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Knockout tipping time.
Sammy, you will never believe it. I'm actually leading this one as well. 25-19. Yes, this is our knockout tipping comp where we pick one team each week from Rugby League and Rugby Union, and we can't pick them again. Rugby Union, we're obviously going to do the international games this weekend, and Rugby League, it restarts.
Oh, man.
We've picked all the teams.
I've lost whatever you're saying because I'm just thinking, man, fancy lunch, tattoo on the bum. What else is there that I could be up for? But anyway, I need to make a run soon here. So...
we'll start with Rugby Union.
Union?
We'll go both games, the women and the leagues.
Ooh, the
women and the Wallabies. Wallaroos and Wallabies.
You good?
Yeah.
Yeah, sweet.
So we'll start with the Wallabies taking on Wales.
Well, you always go with Kef's predictions, don't you?
Well, I was going to go the Wales. I was going to go Wales because my wife is quarter Welsh. So my kids are, half of quarter Welsh?
Yeah, something.
1/8.
There you go. Don't do math questions. Don't do spelling questions. Don't do math questions.
So I'm going Wales to beat the Wallabies.
Okay, all right, I'll go the Wallabies. I'm going to go against Kef, hand on heart. I'm going to back the gold in.
And I'll stick to the same pick with Kef's in the draw. Is it the draw?
Fijiana. Okay, so I'm going to Dublo for Wallabies and Wallaroos then. Come on. Come on, the Gold Army. Get up. I'm sick of losing.
And in league, we get to pick all over again. So... remember, this picks will lead into the finals as well, so don't pick your top eight too early.
Yeah, well, okay, don't pick my top eight. Well, I'm going to go the Sharks straight away then. I just think they're due for a win, but I don't want to choose them in final series.
Sharkies to beat who?
They are playing. Who are they playing again?
You're the worst.
What do you mean I'm the worst? No, hang on. The Titans. I knew it. Sharkies are playing the Titans.
Sharkies to beat the Titans, and I will go the Canberra Raiders to beat the Knights in Canberra.
Oh, and because the Sharkies are playing at Coffs Harbour too.
Oh, are they?
They're really good there.
Is that what your phone's saying? Is
it? A lot of sharks in the water around there, so that's why I chose them. But anyway, let's move on.
Oh, well, that's us done for another Nijin Footy Fridays. Remember, you can listen back to our Monday and Friday shows. Just search for Nijin Footy wherever you get your podcasts.
Have a good weekend.
Ka kite and up the Wallaroos, Wallabies.
Sharks.
All of them.
All of them. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.